Hello, and welcome to a Happy New Year Environment Show on Radio Reverb, your local community radio station. And this week, we're going to be having our organic gardening tips for 2011 in January with Mouse and Ruth. Hello, Mouse and Ruth.
Hello.
Oh, hello. And thanks for coming to the studio in 2011. And we're going to look forward to hearing your organic gardening tips for January and news about the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group. Did you have good New Year's?
It was fine, thank you.
Yes, very pleasant.
Indeed, and me too. As well as organic gardening tips with Mouse and Ruth on the show this week, we're going to be having some news about some environmental type events that are going to be coming up in the next few days. At the Coach Works in Hollingdean, there's going to be their Grand Swapperama, a swapping event, and they're also going to be having a marmalade making day. There are some environmental events at the Carly Club. There's going to be the South Coast Climate Camp meeting and a social. There'll be the gig. There's also going to be a popular education event with how to make vegan chocolates, wild fermentation, bicycle generators and bread making, things like that. And they're going to have a film about genetic engineering issues. There's also going to be some news from the council about bra recycling in Brighton. And I'm hoping Mouse will be able to tell us more about the Save Our Forests petition, which she sent me on the email some time ago. Sorry, Mouse is looking a bit confused there, but still, we'll talk about it anyway. And Mouse and Ruth have some news about some other environmental events taking place here in Brighton and Hove in the next while. So we'll be having all that on the show today. And also some music from here in Brighton and Hove, and probably some other places too. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. What we're listening to at the moment is the Carnival Collective. It's the theme tune, and if you listen to the show, you will know. This is a tune called Freak Rocket by Carnival Collective from Brighton, recorded live at the Concord 2 down on Madeira Drive in Brighton, ages ago. You may well also know, if you listen to the show, that this song was written by Mark Hannington, is his name. There you go, I've remembered it now. So I'll let it play out. So this is Freak Rocket by Carnival Collective. So that was, as I said, the Carnival Collective with Freak Rocket, recorded live at the Concord 2 here in Brighton and Hove, playing us in to the Environment Show on Radio Reverb. And, as we said, we're going to start off with some organic gardening tips and news about the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group with Mouse Dismore and Ruth Urbanowitz, our regular organic gardening contributors. And I did say earlier on I was going to ask Mouse and Ruth, and it's really unfair, but for gardening predictions for 2011, which is a ridiculous thing. And there's no reason why they should know what's going to happen. But, I mean, I was just thinking that, what with all the cold and ice and snow in December, whether that might make any difference for their gardening in January, or whether it would be the same procedure as last year, which is my new catchphrase for this time of year, because I should explain that I did explain before, but that's the catchphrase that people say in Germany at New Year, and it is quite bizarre. If you look up on Wikipedia and YouTube, Dinner for One, it's this really strange old musical sketch written in the 1920s in England and then recorded for German telly in 1963 with Freddie Frinton and this other lady. And it's an 18-minute long musical type sketch, which the German TV producer saw them do on Blackpool Pier and thought it would be a great thing to have on German telly. Got Freddie Frinton and the lady to come to Germany, recorded this sketch in front of a studio audience in German, but it was all in English. And now it's the most repeated TV programme in the history of the world's television, because it's played every New Year's Eve in Germany and Austria, and also in Denmark, Sweden and Norway, but maybe at different times. They have it at Christmas Eve or something. And it's about the story of this lady, an elderly lady, who's having a birthday party, but all her friends have died, and the butler has to drink all their drinks, and then he gets really drunk. And he trips over this tiger's head on the floor, and it's really, you know, it's not terribly funny, and it's got this catchphrase, which is the same procedure as last year. He keeps asking the lady, is it the same procedure as last year? And she says, yes, the same procedure as every year. And it goes on for 18 minutes like that.
Good.
And in Germany and Austria and Denmark, and they watch it every New Year, and as I said, it's been the most...
So a bit like the Queen's Speech.
A bit like the Queen's Speech, yes.
Except at least hers is different every year.
That's true.
Well, exactly, yes.
I think.
Yes, and it's in black and white and in English, and so I suppose they must have subtitles. But apparently in Germany, everyone goes round at New Year saying to each other, the same procedure as last year. Sorry about the German accent, but it's quite weird. But anyway, so will it... Is there going to be any difference, do you think, to gardening in January or this year with all the ice and snow? Or will it be the same procedure as last year?
Well, we had ice and snow last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we had it before Christmas and then again after Christmas last year, so we could well have another lot. I hope not, but I wouldn't hold my breath to avoid it. It's not nice. Mind you, it did kill off the green fly last year.
And also, we didn't have an awful lot of mollusks last year either, did we, because of it? So it does have some useful purposes.
It's an ill wind that blows nobody good.
Yes, and I don't personally do a great deal of gardening in January anyway.
No, me neither, to be honest.
Ah, right. Okay, but well...
We are quite old now.
Yes, okay.
Me and Mouse.
But young.
And there's also a lot of, you know, things you can do in winter, like... sit in a nice warm house and look at seed catalogues
and plan ahead.
And plan.
Yes, plan for the year ahead.
But I mean, it's not now as cold. Is it, you know, there's an opportunity perhaps for maybe
the soil's still quite damp, isn't it?
Right.
But you can tidy things. It's a good time for tidying up, for getting your tools sharpened and oiled.
Get
your lawn mowers and strimmers serviced. You know, do repairs to hard substances like sheds and paths and bed edging and all of those kind of things if you want to be out in the cold, damp weather.
Indeed.
My tools have been sitting in the kitchen for 6 weeks now waiting to be oiled. I cleaned them.
I'm keeping my strimmer and my hedge trimmer nice and warm, actually. They're under my bed.
Right. Mm. Do they need to be kept warm, then? Is that a good thing?
No, not particularly, but at least they're not getting cold and damp in a cold shed somewhere.
You just like to think of them being warm.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I suppose
I was going to say something then. It's gone completely out of my head.
Yes.
I've just got this mental image of you sleeping peacefully with your... gardening equipment beneath you.
It could be disturbing for someone else to look under the bed and find a hedge trimmer.
Actually, you'd have to look quite hard to see it, because it's actually got all my propagating, my heated propagators are in front of it, and all my propagating frames and stuff. Like, everything's just tucked neatly under the bed.
It's not time yet for propagating then, presumably.
Sometimes I start, as soon as I put my Christmas tree out of doors, which I've been doing for 10 years now, because I've got my Christmas tree survived for 10 years in its pot. But I would then quite often immediately put up my propagating frames and stuff like that. I'm not quite so obsessive these days. I tend to wait until February before I make a...
Yeah, I mean, they say you can sow things like tomatoes at this time of year. But if you do, they will germinate. But then you've got to find a way of giving them enough light to stop them becoming all thin and spindly.
Yeah, well,
and
I've got my horticultural lamp.
I know you have.
But do I really want January with my front room taken up with all my propagators?
And it uses fossil fuel.
Yes, it would be just as good doing it in February. Yeah. So I'm not... No,
I'm
no
not
February.
Sell into
Candlemas. Video. Candlemas is the traditional time, isn't it? What do they call it? Is it Beltane or something?
No, Beltane's in the summer.
Oh, well, whatever this one is. Imbolc or something or another.
Candlemas is the winter one.
Imbolc, that's one of those pagan kind of
Yes, well, they're all pagan-y bits, yes, aren't they? Yes.
They're like sort of, there's solstice and equinox, and then there's other ones, in between.
It's the one in between. Yeah, it's the 1st of February or the 2nd of February is Candlemas, right. And it is an ancient pagan thing, and it's supposed to be when you can really tell that the light is returning.
Right.
You know, it's demonstrably much longer day.
It's probably another week or two before you actually notice that the days are getting longer. Mm. At the moment, it's just still dark and miserable. Well, so the sun came out the day before yesterday.
It was beautiful. On Sunday, I was down on the seafront, and it's sitting out of doors, and it was warm.
Yes.
I raked the leaves off the paths. Yeah. A few things like that.
There's been a few days when it's felt really quite nice and warm.
But then we've had all of these dark, miserable days when you just don't want to do anything.
Well, I mean, I don't know about tomatoes. I've been thinking about tomatoes, but somebody, I think it was Liz here at Radio Reverb, bought us a Christmas cactus thing and put it in our window in between our two layers of windows, and it seems to be really happy. It's been there for, I don't know how long, several weeks now, but it's got loads of little pink flowers on, and it seems to be thriving, thriving away in its kind of, you know, in between the two layers of window. And I'm kind of thinking that made me think, well, if that's surviving, because we're in a basement. We're in a west-facing basement here, and the cactus is growing very happily. So I'm thinking tomatoes, maybe, you know. But we'll have to see whether the powers that be here at Radio Reverb think that's a good idea.
Tomatoes take up a bit more room than Christmas cactuses.
That's true. But still, maybe we can just have one. But as you say, if you're going to start things off, you know, you've got to have, your house has got to be warm, hasn't it? And then you've got to have lots of light windows to, if you're going to start things.
Well, not even just light windows at this time of year, because the sunlight is not enough.
Right.
It's not even enough to charge my solar-powered radio.
Oh, dear. Right.
I have to keep winding it up.
Yes. You mentioned your Christmas tree in a pot. Which you've had, and was it happy and still thriving this year?
I've had it for about 10 years, and it's all right.
Right, and it doesn't get has it stopped getting bigger? Is it like a bonsai Christmas tree now?
It's about just about 5 foot tall.
That's lovely. That sounds like perfect Christmas tree size.
Yeah.
And does it stay that size, or does it?
No, it grows a few inches every year. Right. Well, 3 or 4 inches a year, I think.
So we'll wait and see, you know, if it keeps growing or whether it just stops and stays.
It's in a dark basement. It's in a dark basement, but then pines don't need much light, do they?
No.
Because pine forests are quite dark. So
that's true.
But at least it keeps growing from year after year. And then it's not like, anyway, and you can keep bringing it in.
Yeah.
Because it's in a pot, and as we remembered, you know, it's not a good idea unless you've got a huge garden to plant out.
Absolutely
tree,
not, no.
Because they grow enormously.
No. They do.
And the people who've taken over the allotment that I used to have up on the, oops, I shouldn't say where it is now, because I planted out a Christmas tree, well, I think it was two actually, and they'll be becoming enormous.
Yeah, the council's probably taken them down
by now.
Yes.
I would have thought, well, I don't know, they wouldn't have been that big, it was only a few years ago.
I didn't have a Christmas tree this year.
Oh.
I picked up some branches of Nordman fir that people had dumped on the footpath when they were trying to get their tree in the door, and took them home and arranged them tidily in the window with Christmas lights, worked very well.
That's very sustainable.
Cheap.
Yes.
And very cheap.
I'm sad to say I have an artificial Christmas tree that I use every
day. Well, it's more sustainable. I mean,
it's got nice tinsel on it and little bubbles and things.
Yeah, but it doesn't smell of pine tree.
It's true, it doesn't. No, that's very true. But mind you, my house is surrounded by ivy, so I've got no shortage of ivy everywhere. I sort of live in a world of ivy already, which is other people have to go and get ivy and bring it in.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ivy.
I just have it there.
Our next door neighbour had a lovely Christmas wreath on her door made with Brussels sprouts. Very nice.
Very good use for them, actually.
Wonderful. Yes. Oh, wonderful. Brussels sprouts, eh? What? So you know, do you, either of you grow Brussels sprouts at all?
No. Oh, I do. I love Brussels sprouts.
Really? I hate Brussels sprouts.
Really?
Oh, I love them.
Did you get any this year, then?
Not many, because I was ill for the first half of the year, everything went in late. So my Brussels plants are about half the size they would normally be, with a correspondingly smaller crop.
Right.
But we picked a few last week and had them, and they still taste nice. Very nice.
Indeed.
Well, I did some red cabbages.
I don't grow red cabbage at all.
And really? I dug some leeks this week.
Yeah, I did as well.
Leek and potato soup.
Leek and bacon flan.
Indeed. So there's still possible, if you plant and plan ahead, then you can have fresh vegetables.
But there are some things that are specifically winter veg.
And kale.
Leeks and kale and
parsnips. Yeah. I'm still pulling the odd few carrots.
Are you, Bigora?
I go cover them up with fleece during that really cold weather, but they still seem to be okay.
I grew a red cabbage once on the allotment, and I went away for a few months because it got cold, and then I went back at Christmas time and then discovered that there was the red cabbage just waiting to be eaten for Christmas. Except it had gone really strange. It had grown this enormously long stalk, about, like, you know, 18 inches high, and which was sort of like a big sort of Brussels sprouty stalk thing, but at the top of it there was a red cabbage.
No, that's normal.
Is it normal? Is that how they grow normally? Oh, right.
Often.
I didn't realise.
Yeah, they tend to have a long woody stem.
Yeah, it was tasted delicious and it was great.
There is a type of cabbage that you can get seed of called a walking stick cabbage, and they grow about 6 or 8 foot high.
Wow.
And they make walking sticks out of the stems.
It sounds fantastic. So food and practical, household,
I don't know what they taste like.
Things.
I've never attempted to grow one myself. But
well, that's something anyway. Well, let's have some warming music, and then we'll have more organic gardening ideas and things to be doing, even though it's too cold and dark to be growing stuff. But let's have the wonderful Polito Boogaloo again. From here in Brighton and Hove, although music from Colombia. One of them's Colombian, the others are from here. This is the great Polito Boogaloo with Joselina. So that was Joselina by Polito Boogaloo, or Polito Boogaloo, as they say it should be, with Joselina. And that is, let me see, you can download that free, along with three other Polito Boogaloo tracks, from a website called www.reverbnation.com/POLLITOBOOGALOO. OOGALOO. And that's nothing to do with Radio Reverb. That Reverb Nation is something totally separate. But as I said, there are four that track and four others are downloadable free. You can also look at Polito Boogaloo's MySpace, which is myspace.com/Polito Boogaloo. And it says on there that they've got no gigs coming up, but it also says that they play every first and third Sunday of each month at the St. James's Tavern on St. James's Street in Brighton. So the first Sunday, I don't think they were there, but the third Sunday, which will be in about two Sundays' time now, I suppose, they should be there. But I would check with the St. James's Tavern just to make sure if that's if what's on the MySpace is right. I suppose you could always friend them and then contact them and see if they'll tell you. So this is the Environment Show on Radio Reverb, your local community radio station for Brighton and Hove. 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and streaming live on the internet everywhere in the world at www.radioreverb.com. And also available as a podcast and listen again download from the Environment Show page on the Radio Reverb website. If you go to the Radio Reverb site, look on the main page, look down to Community Radio for Brighton, and then underneath there it says Environment News. If you click on that, it takes you to the Environment Show page. And then all the details and links, like, for example, a link to the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group website is on there, and on news that will be on the show later on, with links and more details. And then eventually that's all on there now, even at coming up to 25 past five on Tuesday, the 4th of January, not Sunday. I'm getting confused with the other show. So that's all on there now. If you're listening to a repeat, well, it's there already. And if you're listening to the repeat, you will even get the links and details about the music that's on the show, those that I have. And before that music, we were talking about Christmas trees, and if you happen to have a real Christmas tree, but it doesn't have any roots, so you don't want to keep it in a pot, or you simply want to recycle it, you can now. The council has loads of Christmas tree recycling sites, and they opened on the 3rd of January, and they will be open until the end of January. And there is details of where you can find a link to the map of where all those Christmas tree recycling sites are on the Environment Show page. It's not on this week's show. I think it's on last week's show or the week before. But if you search around, you will find those things. Alternatively, go to the council's website, brighton-hove.gov.uk, search for Christmas tree recycling, and you'll find that page there. There are quite a number of places where you can take your tree to. But however, it's not traditionally, it's not time to remove your decorations or your tree until Twelfth Night. Yes, Mouse is saying Twelfth Night, which is the 6th of January.
Day after tomorrow.
As far as I know. Okay, so
if you're listening live.
Yes, tomorrow, if you're listening tomorrow morning, on Wednesday morning. And if you're listening to the Listen Again podcast, well, we don't know when it is. Hello, future people.
But it's 12th night. It is 12th of January. You've got to take your tree out, otherwise it's unlucky.
Yep. And speaking of strange traditions in other countries, if you lived in Spain, you wouldn't even give any presents until 12th night. It's called the Night of the Three Kings, and everyone in Spain...
Of course, it's Epiphany, isn't it?
Yeah. They give their presents on the 6th of January, not on Christmas at all. So, anyway, different strokes for different peoples. However, here we are in the studio on Tuesday, 4th of January, 25 past five, with Mouse and Ruth from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group. So we did mention quite a few different things that the organic gardener could be doing, even in the cold weather.
Can I just do a little nutshell thing?
Do.
And then maybe you could go into a bit more detail about
it.
But just because we've been wittering on about all sorts of things.
Yes, we have been wittering.
The winter is the time to be cleaning everything, cleaning and tidying, clearing your beds, clearing out all your old junk, checking things that have been recently planted, like trees and so on, in case the frost has heaved them up. And also keeping your beds clear of hardy weeds that will be quite happy in this weather. So that's your first three things: cleaning, clearing and checking. And then that you've got your peas, planning ahead, protecting things from the frost and the bad weather, pruning. You should get as much of your pruning done at the end of January as possible, because birds will start to nest. So if you've got deciduous hedges, for instance, and fruit trees and so on, all need really pruning at the end of January.
Prune them prune them before the birds nest, because you don't want to be pruning after the birds have started nesting, because you'll really disturb them.
You don't want to prune birds.
I thought that was so obvious that I didn't even say it.
Well,
sorry. And also, you can plant stuff now. You can plant fruit trees, and you can plant deciduous hedges, things that are dormant at the moment. Don't plant them if it's frosty. But if it's not frosty, then this is a good month to be planting things.
Probably not if it's really wet either.
No, not if it's too wet.
But this time of year, you can buy them bare-rooted,
exactly.
Not in a pot, which is cheaper.
It's cheaper, and it's a good thing to be doing right now. And if I could just mention, as an add-on to that, before Mouse goes into more detail, I was talking to a chap from the White Hawk Community Food Project today, and they have a website called thefoodproject.org.uk. And in fact, in mid-February, the 15th, they're doing a whole load about fruit trees. It's called Fruit in a Nutshell, which I think is the most delightful title. And it's a workshop, whether it's a half day or a whole day, I'm not sure. But basically, it's about how to plant fruit trees properly and how to prune them and how to propagate them. So that's a good one to do if you actually want to be plant. And also, at the moment, they're volunteer days. They've got 25 fruit trees to plant in the next few weeks. And their volunteer days, I believe, are Thursdays and Sundays in the afternoons. But they also have a really useful, if any of you have recently taken on an allotment, this coming Saturday, which is going to be, the 8th, I think, isn't it? They've got, run by Harvest, in fact, up there, they've got a clearing new ground morning workshop, Saturday morning, which is about what to do if you've just taken on an allotment, how to get it under control and everything. Now, he did say to me, you have to book it through the Harvest website. But just before the programme, we looked on the Harvest website and there's no mention of it. So I can't give you Jacob's telephone number on air, but I believe you can look that up and we'll put it on the web on.
We will.
On this website afterwards.
We'll put it on the Environment Show page after the show, so from about 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 4th, that will be there. But also,
and you can look on their website. Hopefully it'll be up there as well.
Yes, I mean, if you go to harvest-bh.org.uk, then look at contact, there's a phone number, and then sort of office hours, there should be.
But you can do it through thefoodproject.org.uk. UK, you can look it up on there, because that's the White Hawk Food Project's own website.
So we'll have that phone number, we'll have all the phone numbers and all the different ones you could possibly try, and those two websites will be on the Environment Show page up from about 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Wonderful. So what day was the fruit tree pruning?
I think they're
course?
Both Saturdays. I believe, right.
Okay, and it is the 8th, I think. Let me just make absolutely
this Saturday sense. Is the 8th, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes.
Thursday is the 6th and Saturday is the 8th.
It is the 8th, it says so.
And I think the 15th of February is probably a Saturday as well.
February, 15th of February. Yeah. Wait a minute.
But I'm not sure.
I have the technology. No, 15th of February is a Friday.
Is it Friday?
Yep.
Uh-huh, okay.
Right. Brilliant. That's great.
Now, should Mouse go into a little bit more detail about some of these things?
Is it over to Mouse? Yes, Mouse.
I think so.
Well, one of the things I was going to talk about was your leftover seeds from last year and previous years. Some of them will still be viable. You'll be able to sow them this year and they'll come up, but others won't. So it's a good idea, while you've still got nothing much to be going on with, to actually test your seeds. So if you get each packet that you've got some left over of, and just get little pinch of seeds, a few seeds out of them, and sow them on kitchen paper, moist kitchen paper, not absolutely dripping wet, but moist kitchen paper. And then, I mean, it tells you to roll it up, but I think then they're all going to get mixed up. So what I do is I put them in a tray, or I've got a little heated propagator thing. I just stick them in there. On
you can just stick them on top
paper.
Of a radiator, actually.
Yeah, anything like that.
In a warm tray.
Yeah.
On
with, as long as you put plastic over the top to keep them from drying out.
Yeah.
And you've got them on the surface there so you can see what they're doing. And then you'll know whether or not you've got viable seed.
Do you have to wait until they sprout? Is that how you tell?
Yes.
But then once they've sprouted, don't you have to plant them?
Yeah, but
them,
you are only using a little sprinkle, to save the packet itself.
So if you've got like half a packet of seed left,
right,
you just take a little pinch.
Right, because if some of them are okay, then they'll all be okay. Is that
well, you can work out what percentage. If you're so inclined, you count how many of your seeds that you've got, and then you count how many germinate,
right,
and divide the number germinated by the number that you tested, and multiply it by 100, and that will give you the percentage of seeds that germinate. Otherwise, you can have a look and see whether most of them did or most of them didn't,
which right,
proceed accordingly.
But don't do it with parsnips, because parsnips are very, very rarely viable for more than a year.
Right.
Yeah. But things like your brassicas and tomatoes and stuff like that actually stay viable for quite
a long time.
Lots of things do.
I was just being dim there. I just thought we were trying to sort out the ones that were going to work and the ones that weren't. Okay, so you're just testing the packet. But this is important, though, because if you're going to Seedy Sunday on the 6th of
then you
of,
can stock
of,
up on new
February.
Ones. Yeah.
But if you're going to take any seeds, it's best to check if they're
check them before you take them. You don't want to be giving duff seeds away to people.
Or not even if you're not even the 6th of January or 6th of February at Hove Town Hall, which is the Seedy Sunday seed swapping thing. Details on the Environment Show page from some weeks ago. But also, as I said, the Coachworks 19 Hollingdean Terrace swapping day, which includes seeds, I'm going to tell you about later on in the show as well. So if you want to take your seeds to that too, basically test them first, test a few of them and see if they're viable in the way that Merce said. Sorry, Merce, carry on.
Yes. Did I say that you put another bit of damp kitchen paper over the top of the...
No, you just said put plastic over the top.
Put another bit of damp over the top and then plastic on top of that. And then you could just peel a bit off to have a look.
How long should it take before they like?
It depends on the variety of seeds. I mean, they'll all come up at different times.
But most of them will be within a few weeks. I was going to say within 10 days.
Yeah, maybe.
Most things will be about
week, 10 days. Most veggies, yeah.
Since you're keeping it warm, will not the water in the kitchen paper evaporate and need
this
to be
topped
up?
That's why you've got plastic on top.
Yeah, but, okay, will that actually keep it from drying out?
Should
then?
Do.
You
should
don't,
do.
You don't need
I,
to top
but
it
check
up?
It.
Yeah. I shove it in a plastic, you know, a plastic, a clear plastic bag. I save my mushroom containers, the plastic things. And put it in there and just bung a plastic bag over it, and so that you can actually see.
And fold the plastic bag in underneath.
So you can see if there's no condensation on the surface. You can be inside the plastic bag. You can be pretty sure it's dried out, and then you need to re-wet it.
Which particular mushroom containers are we talking about? The ones that you get mushrooms in the supermarket.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. With a plastic top.
I just keep the bottoms. They're useful for all sorts of things.
I thought you were making a little hole.
No, for goodness sake.
Sorry. I was just saying that would work. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Carry on, Mass. Yes.
yes, well, that was basically all I was going to say about that. Other things, Ruth's already mentioned pruning and cleaning everything. Covering things. Obviously, you're going to cover anything that's half hardy when the frost's threatened, but also it's the time of year where you're going to get the peach leaf curl fungal spores floating around on the air. So if you've got like a fan-trained peach or nectarine up against a wall, if you attach a sheet of plastic to the top of the wall and put it down over the top to stop the fungal spores from gaining access to the trees.
Right. That's a very good tip, that is. Yes.
And feed the birds, of course.
Indeed. Yeah, keep feeding the birds because it's cold weather.
Either melting a hole in the ice on your pond if it's frozen, or else putting out fresh water for them to bathe and drink.
Now, that's a thing, because I remember I read in the newspaper we were talking about pests, not aphids and mollusks not liking the really cold frost and ice that we had. But it said in the newspaper that wildlife generally did like really cold weather in winter, which seems
it depends on the wildlife. If it's the sort of wildlife that hibernates, then it's quite a good thing, because then they stay asleep and don't use up their fat reserves.
Yes.
But if it's going up and down all the time and and you get a warm spell and they wake up, there's nothing for them to eat. They'll use up all their fat reserves and might not make it through the winter. So a hard winter can be better for hibernating species.
That must be what they meant. So let's hope that there will be a great army of hedgehogs coming out in the spring to eat all the worms and... Not the worms, the slugs. Yes.
If you find a hedgehog wandering around looking bemused and you want to feed it...
Yeah.
Don't put out bread and milk
no.
because it will make them very, very ill.
No.
Just put out some tinned dog food or something like that.
Right. And if you see one wandering about, well, it's probably not too late to make a hedgehog house in the corner of your garden so it can come
hibernating. Yeah, if it's wandering about in this weather, bring it in, feed it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think, bring it. I don't mean bring it into the house, but, put it, feed, give it a good feed and put it somewhere.
Yeah.
Suitable for going back to sleep again.
I must go and check my hedgehog house because I have a hedgehog house in the corner of my garden. It's like a sort of mud and stick wigwam thing, only about a foot and a half.
Do you have a resident hedgehog?
I haven't looked, you see. I must go and look and see if one's got in there. Because there was one. One did live around the area not long ago, but then it disappeared. Anyway, that's something to look forward to. Right. Okay, sorry.
Can I just get you to... elaborate a little bit on the checking and cleaning there with the view to greenhouses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Read the chat we were having a bit earlier.
Anywhere where you've got plants indoors or if you've got them warm, the pests are likely to keep breeding. I know I've got greenfly in the conservatory at the moment that I've got to tackle. So just look carefully at your plants. Have a close-up look at any of the plants that you've actually got indoors, and if they've got green fly on, you can spray them with soft soap. If they're sort of thick, sturdy leaves, you can just wipe them over with a wet J cloth or something and get them off. But quite a lot of insects will keep breeding in the warmth of your conservatory or heated greenhouse.
And so you need
to keep checking them.
If it's a conservatory, you presumably wouldn't want to be doing a sulfur candle in there then.
No, you can't. No.
No, but you do want to be doing, if like me, you haven't done your sulfur candle in your greenhouse.
Yes.
You do need to do it in the next couple of weeks, really.
Right. But you mustn't do it with plants inside.
No, because the
plants don't like the sulfur either.
Nothing will like it. You have to take everything out before and after.
And don't try it in your conservatory or it'll really mess up your house.
Yes.
You'll get horrible sulfur fumes.
We'll probably end up dying, actually.
You probably would, yes.
Yeah, it's not going to do you a lot of good.
No. So not in the conservatory, but in the greenhouse.
So you're actually going to have to wait for a period of relatively mild weather. Wild weather. Relatively what?
Wild meadow sounds like a really nice thing.
Relatively mild weather.
I want wild meadow in my garden.
So that you can actually put the plants outside while you're fumigating the greenhouse.
Yes.
Which is why, theoretically, it's better to do it before the cold weather starts. I think I'm going to hand over to somebody else for a minute.
Let's have some music.
I think we'll just have some music.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I know.
Do you have any wild meadow music?
Wild meadow music. I'm not sure if you'd call this wild meadow music. No. I'm going to practice what we've preached about how Christmas doesn't finish until Twelfth Night in a couple of days or one day or 6th of January. And I'm going to play a Christmas carol sung by the Napier Carols, traditional carol or group who meet at the Napier Pub on Southover Street in Brighton.
Yeah.
The Napier Pub, the home of Brighton Morris people, apparently, seemingly. Mm. Seem to be loads of them go there. But they also do carols, traditional carol singing. They had a traditional carol kind of concert in the pub before Christmas. And they sent us a recording of them singing a traditional carol from England. I'm not sure what it's called, but here it is.
Oh,
So that was an unknown traditional carol, well, not unknown to everybody, but unknown to me, sung by the Napier Carols, a group who meet at the Napier Pub on Southover Street in Brighton to sing traditional English carols. And they sent us that here at Radio Reverb. And if you'd like your music played on Radio Reverb, please send us MP3s to studio@radioreverb.com, or you can drop in or post a CD to Radio Reverb, 11 Old Steen, Brighton, BN1 1JA. And I'm here in the studio with Merce and Ruth from the Brighton and Hove Organic Garden Group. And Merce, you just mentioned about wassailing apple trees that takes place on Twelfth Night. What is wassailing apple trees?
It's a very old and long-standing pagan tradition. The idea is it's supposed to help them grow and blossom and bear well in the forthcoming year. There's various different things that people do. I mean, they will put a bit of bread or toast soaked in cider up in the fork of the tree. Right. Some places they shoot shotguns up into the branches.
Right. Just to encourage them.
But I don't know if it's happening this year.
It is happening.
Yes, you're absolutely right. At Middle Farm.
Yes, Merce at Middle Farm. And on the Middle Farm website, www.middlefarm.com, it says 15th of January, wassail. And so it says their wassail evening takes place every January. And a wassail, spelled W-A-S-S-A-I-L, is a winter celebration traditionally held on Twelfth Night, which is the 6th of January, but theirs is on the 15th of January, and to ensure, as Merce said, that the orchard is fruitful in the coming months. At Middle Farm, the wassail is accompanied by music and dancing, mummers and Morris men, hot food, mulled cider and local ale.
So it's usually really good fun. They have a lot of border Morris teams, the ones in the rag coats and black faces.
Oh, yes.
And a big bonfire, and that's really good fun.
It's from 6 p.m. till 11 p.m. On Saturday, 15th of January, and Middle Farm, as you may know, is out on the A27 on the other side of Lewes. In fact, beyond Furrell, it's on the left. If you go from Lewes along the A27 and keep going, and then you pass Glynde on the left and Furrell on the right, and you keep going and going and going, and I think it's just like where some trees.
It's on the left.
Yeah, where the trees begin, you'll see Middle Farm on the left. And anyway. Yes.
But you'll have to have a designated driver because there's no public transport back from there.
No, not
unless, of course, you don't want to have a drink.
You can be the designated driver. Yes, exactly. Designated drivers, you become very popular with people who want to go to that. And if anyone's going, get in touch. studio@radioreverb.com and we can all go. Right. So, anyway, Merce and Ruth, so have we got more?
We've got an event, haven't we?
Yes.
Have we covered everything that needed to be covered, do you think?
I think just about.
There's nothing terribly
it's
urgent
not
apart from the
pruning,
it's not
a hugely busy time in the garden apart from
no,
the pruning,
put your feet up. But we are having a January event at Bog, which takes place at the Phoenix Community Centre on Friday, January the 21st at 7:30, and we've got this fabulous chap called Jeff Mead coming to give us an illustrated talk, and we've had him loads of times, and anybody who's
wonderful.
Ever seen him is so enthused about him because he's just so interesting and he does such good presentations. So this one is about, I think he calls it What Lies Beneath or something like that. Basically, it's about the variety of soils that we grow on in Brighton and Hove, how and why they differ from each other, what their properties are, and so on and so forth. Not everybody's wildly excited by soil, but actually, if you came to listen to Jeff, I think you'd end up finding
he's
soil
very good
completely
at enthusing
fascinating.
People.
It's because he's an enthusiastic person himself, isn't it?
He's great.
And gardeners.
He's really interesting.
We need to know about soil if we're gardeners.
Traditional gardeners, they say the answer
lies in the soil.
See, exactly. So if you're not enthused, you come along into this and get enthused.
Yes. It's free to Bog members. If you're not a Bog member, you can either join there, or you can give us a donation of £2 if you're waged or £1 if you're unwaged. And that is disabled access. And again, that is Friday, January the 21st at the Phoenix Community Centre, which is very close to the level. It's immediately behind the Phoenix Galleries. And we do these days put a little notice up on the side of the building so that hopefully you can find your way round to the entrance.
It's kind of to the east of St Peter's Church,
but that's correct.
But a bit north.
And it's
slightly
next door to the pub that used to be the
Free Buck. I think it's closed down now, isn't it?
No, I think it's still there.
It looked very deserted last time.
Maybe it's gone. It was okay, but it was. There were rumours it was going to close, but then I thought it was in. But okay, maybe it has. But where that was is
directions to the Phoenix Community Centre. You can visit the events page of our website at www.bog. That's BHOGG. .org. Just spotted that.
Fantastic, indeed. That's really great. And then you can also join Bog in advance at the Bog
Actually,
website.
Actually, you can join us at the website, can't you? Yes.
Yes, you can.
Okay,
yes.
So there you go. Well, Madison
and
Ruth,
then you can come to the AGM in February.
February, yes. Well, we have our AGM quite early February, February the 10th.
Yep.
And that's a Thursday. All of our winter meetings, we have a monthly winter meeting, and they all happen at the Phoenix Community Centre. And if none of those sounds very fascinating to you, we have a very practical workshop on Friday, March the 11th, which we've called Spring into Action. And it's about what you need to do, how you need to get yourself sorted out and set up for the spring.
Right. Well, Madison Ruth, thank you very much. It's been very entertaining and interesting, as always. And we will look forward to more organic gardening tips in February. And March and every month throughout the year. So thank you very much. But don't go away, because I'm just going to, maybe you can comment on some of the news that I promised. Oh, that tearing is going to be on the radio. Not to worry. Sorry, I've turned your microphone down now, so tear away, so to speak. There we go. So anyway, I did promise news, and so I must leave time. Let's see. So on the 15th of January, at the Coachworks, 19 Hollingdean Terrace, Brighton, it's going to be what they called the Coachworks Grand Swapperama. I think that's supposed to be sort of a joke, kind of about talking in Mexican accents. Why Mexicans would swap, I don't know. However, this is Coachworks' second annual Swap Fest. They say, bring your things to swap. Seeds, clothes, unwanted Xmas prezzies, anything! Every year after Christmas, people get together at Coachworks for a big swap. Clothes, unwanted gifts, seeds and plants, food, things, homemade things, all kinds of things. Come and join in from 11 a.m. It's free. Donations are welcome. That's 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. 19 Hollingdean Terrace, where there will also be, on Sunday the 16th of January, the Coachworks Marmalade Day. That's from 4 p.m. They say they just love to make jam at Coachworks, including marmalade. So bring your own ingredients and musical instruments. So bring oranges, lemons, sugar and clean jars. And they would appreciate donations for that as well. So let's see. Also then, at the Cowley Club on London Road, Brighton's alternative social centre, in January, let's see, on tonight, the 4th of January, apologies to people listening to the repeats, 7:30, it's the South Coast Climate Camp Group Meeting. That's open to all, and that's 7:30 p.m. That's every Tuesday. And next Tuesday, if you're listening on the 4th, it's Tuesday the 11th from 7:30, it's the South Coast Climate Camp Group Social, also open to all. That includes, at 8 p.m, a gig with some noisy Italian noisy Afrobeat from In Zaire. Some Kraut Rock from Leeds, Brighton and Bradford with Nope, and then Brighton two-piece instrumental group Illness. That's free or donations. On Saturday the 8th of January, from 10 a.m. onwards, also at the Cowley Club, it's Brighton Popular Education. They have a day of free practical workshops this month, making vegan chocolates, wild fermentation, 12-volt electrics, making bread, bicycle generators, crochet. And that is then Saturday the 8th and the first Saturday of every month. All materials are provided with cake and coffee. And you can find out more at populareducation.org.uk. Populareducation.org.uk should get you there. Wednesday the 12th, 7 p.m, it's a film and talk about genetic engineering issues in the UK and worldwide. So that's all that's happening at the Cowley Club. Not all, but some of the environmental things in the next week or so. And also those two events at Coachworks. And we might be able to fit in some more news about bra recycling in Brighton and possibly the Save Our Forests petition, because I did mention it, although I won't ask Mouse because she doesn't know. She just passed it on to me. Mouse sent it to me by email.
Yes, I get large numbers of emails sent to me for various worthy causes and petitions, and I forward them on to friends.
Well, I'm glad because I can now tell the listener about it because I've copied it out and put it on the webpage.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got the details myself because I wasn't ready. So.
I have.
It's good
right.
on
it's,
you,
it's
mate.
It's all here. So, right. Anyway, but we'll have that after. Tuned from Brighton and Hove's The Half Sisters Trio. Recorded in the Radio Reverb Studio live back in March of, was it 2009? I don't know. I think it was. So ages ago, here is the Half Sisters with Flying Show.
Show me your homemade movie scenes on a broken TV screen in your room. And yes, I know I'm a girl with a broken wing, but who are you? And yes, I know I'm a girl who's lost her king, but what can I do when you tumble around me like an earthquake and you run away so
So that is the Half Sisters from here in Brighton and Hove with Flying Show, recorded live in the Radio Reverb Studio back in March 2009. And you can hear two more of their songs and find out more about them at www.myspace.com/The Half Sisters UK. And, well, thanks very much for listening to The Environment Show on Radio Reverb, your local community radio station. I'm Donald Shire, and I would like to thank again Maus Dismore and Ruth Urbanowitz from the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group for joining me in the studio. I promised you more news, and I'll try and fit it in just before the next show. So, as I said, the council sent us news about bra recycling in Brighton. They sent news about how a local slimming club collected together over 100 bras and then sent them to be recycled through the council's bra recycling centre. And if you look at the Environment Show webpage, as well as finding listen again podcast downloads of previous shows, this show will eventually be podcast, probably Wednesday evening. But you can find details of where all the bra banks are. There's about 10 of them in Brighton and Hove, and that's all on there. I will put a link. I haven't got a link to where you can get more information, but I will put it on there eventually, 7 o'clock Tuesday. And also, the petition, Save Our Forests petition, is apparently growing very fast. They're aiming to get at least 100,000 signatures, but they've probably got more than that now because that mouse sent me that some time ago. But if you want to add your name to a petition about saving the UK's forests, go to www.38degrees.org.uk/save-our-forests. And they say things like, forests like the Forest of Dean, the New Forest, Grisdale, Thetford and Alice Holt are national treasures. And these people, these 38degrees.org.uk, are very concerned that the Britain's forests are not being protected and we are losing them. This is a petition to get the government to take some more action to save the UK's forests. So thanks for listening, and I will be back next week, and I'm not sure what's going to be on the show next week, but hopefully we'll have something good. So I'll leave you with a short burst of the Wide-Eyed Order's Blackbirds in the Morning. Talk to you again next week.
I can't sleep, I'm wide awake, cause I have no friends. My legs are desert, cause I'm well, I still can't decide which way that I should go. Ooh, I feel all strange, in a peculiar way, cannot change. No, I can't find my way, but I still can't decide which way that I should go. All the way for some dope from California, yeah. But I still can't decide on which way that I should go. Ooh, I look dumb, my trousers just don't fit, so my phone, I fall the hell of it. But I still can't decide on which way that I should go. Ooh.